This podcast is not intended to be a scholarly or authoritative source. Never Have Y'all Ever is an entertainment podcast that explores Texas culture, history, and subcultures through personal experiences and opinions. We encourage listeners to conduct their own research, consult reliable sources for historical or cultural information. Giddy up. Let's get into it.
Now, they say everything's bigger in Texas. That's true, but what about the stores, the one we all knew?
Well, let's take our day to work, doing what doesn't feel like work. We're here today with Never Have Y'all Ever. Next episode, we're going to be talking about none other than Jerry Jeff Walker.
Hey.
Hey.
Howdy.
Mr. Bojangles. All right.
Yeah.
Milan, you ready for us?
I'm ready to go.
All right. You let us know. Giddy up.
Giddy up.
Giddy up.
All right. I'm going to jump us right off the top with the first fact.
Let's do it.
Okay. Jerry Jeff Walker. For listeners that don't know who Jerry Jeff Walker is, I'll give a little context. But he is known as being a Texas country artist. And you'll learn more about him as we get through this episode and why we've chosen him to be the first Texas country artist we're going to talk about. Okay. Number one, the man behind Mr. Bojangles. Jerry Jeff Walker is best known for writing Mr. Bojangles, a song about a street performer he met in New Orleans in a New Orleans drunk tank in the 1960s.
Can't Woo! Make this shit up.
Well, the song became a massive hit for the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and was later covered by Sammy Davis Jr., Bob Dylan, and even Neil Diamond, Walker's original version remains a Texas classic.
Didn't know that those legends covered it.
Oh, man.
I really didn't, and it's not even a song.
Neil Diamond,
Nitty Gritty Dirt Band?
Yeah.
Like, give that to me on, like, a patio evening and a beer. Like, that is a band. I didn't know that.
Mr. Bojangles wrote it about a guy he met in the drunk tank in the 1960s in New Orleans. Yo, can you imagine?
No.
What that drunk tank must have been. I mean, first of all, New Orleans is another country.
You know what? I actually lived there for a little bit, and I used to tell everybody that, I mean, you need a passport to go to that state.
Yeah, you should, yes.
It is a different world.
Yeah.
And let alone the drunk tank.
And I really feel like the drunk tank in New Orleans, in comparison to other states, y'all.
It's more colorful?
Maybe more colorful, but almost more, in my mind, it more normalized. Like, at my kids' school, they have kind of like a...
A drunk tank?
They have a drunk tank. Instead of going to detention, go to, like, the take a breather room, right?
Okay.
And I feel like that's the drunk tank in
that's
New Orleans.
That's the Bojangle.
That's the cops.
The Bojangle room.
Yeah. The cops in New Orleans are like, take a breather. Sober.
Time out.
We'll see you at breakfast.
We're gonna slap your wrist.
But just you need a time out for just a second. You know, in New Orleans,
it's actually really accurate.
Because everybody, you know, of course, New Orleans is known for partying and Mardi Gras and drinking and everything.
That's why their level of tolerance has to be so high.
That's what I'm saying.
And
I feel like it's just
a
TO. It's just a hey. Unless you're hurting somebody, but if you can't walk, we're just going to give you a quick timeout.
Yeah.
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 So, Mr. Bojangles, there's a couple Jerry Jeff songs that I definitely were like anthems for me and my friends in high school.
Okay.
I don't know. Mr. Bojangles was up there, but it wasn't one of like the top two.
Well, it was a little bit aged at that point.
Yeah.
So, he got street cred with us through that.
Sure.
But then he had his own life for our generation.
I think so. And
you know
what
I mean?
We're going to totally dive into that.
Yep.
And here we come into the next fact. He's an adopted Texan to the core, but he was born in, Oneonta, New York. Okay. It's from the state of New York. I'm sure I'm butchering the name of that.
You butchered it like a true Texan, though.
But, you know, Texans, we butcher stuff.
Man. Yes, exactly.
So it's fine. But So do they do in New Orleans, Chapatulas, okay? But Walker didn't actually grow up in Texas, but he got here as fast as he could. After bouncing around as a folk singer, he landed in Austin in the 1970s and helped pioneer the outlaw country movement, blending folk, honky-tonk, and storytelling in a way that influenced legends like Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings. So this is really where kicking off our Texas country with Jerry Jeff was important to me.
Because seems right. Yes.
I feel like he is really, of course, there was Bob Wills, there was Waylon, there was Merle, all the things. But for what we know as Texas country today, what's happening in Texas country music and what makes it stand apart from Nashville, I believe, my opinion is it started with Jerry Jeff.
And I feel the same. I think that you hit the nail on the head, and what I like to hear that feels soothing to my soul is it's almost like that spice in a recipe. You said the key word for me as a listener, which is folk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about him, mm-hmm. and there's something about this particular genre that it makes it seem like they had the ability to just pick up a guitar
and
make a song out of anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beauty in it. And I think that's why you can relate to it so much.
Sure.
Is that it's like some of the best things are the most simple, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really what he did.
Well, and in outlaw country, you know, a lot of other states and places I've lived outside of Texas, they're like, okay, it's country music though. And I'm like, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like outlaw country, Texas country is its own genre. And the reason for that, you know, the key word for me in that fact was outlaw country music,
yeah.
movement.
Yeah.
The reason it's outlaw is for a lot of reasons. I mean, I think their reputations and the lives they led, but more as a musician, I think their songs, much like blues, they don't follow rules,
yeah.
right? They're storytelling. I mean, how many Robert Earl Keen concerts have you been to?
God.
Where he is just plucking around, telling a story,
yeah.
falling off a bar stool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yes.
And for me, Jerry Jeff did have a definite resurgence in the late 90s, early 2000s for our generation.
Yes.
For millennials. And I would say in high school, much like the Yeti stickers and stuff you see on cars now.
I was just about to say the Jerry Jeff sticker.
Jerry Jeff Walker,
yes.
blue and white sticker. I mean, and if you had that on your truck or your car.
You were legit.
You were legit.
And, but a funny thing about that is there was a really, really good percentage that you were from the Hill Country.
Right. So that's another thing about Jerry Jeff.
Very distinguishing.
Is I think, and ones that quickly followed him was like Robert Earl, of course, Willie. And then obviously like Pat Green and Corey Morrow, CCR, you've got a lot of cross Canadian ride bring that the other
you
CCR.
And CCR on listeners.
But you know what I mean? So there was a lot of musicians that really quickly followed that trend of this kind of like outlaw music. And it's very, if I was to describe Texas country in a couple of words, it would be it's country, but it's also rock. And it's also blues.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes it really different for me than like the Tim McGraws and the Kenny Chesneys and the John Michael Montgomerys and the, you know, the kind of the pop you see out of Nashville. It's a very different sort of beat following, even type of writing, all of it.
It goes back to folk.
Mm-hmm. Folk, yes.
It really
and
does.
And kind of indie, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really, really strong adjective for it, is it goes down to or comes down to the people that resonate with it.
Sure.
The audience. And definitely distinguish itself from, you know, the big mamma jammas, mm-hmm. you know, from Nashville.
It breaks all the rules.
Well, and it was also something that was really great about having that concert ticket and knowing who you were going to see
sure.
in that crowd.
Right.
You know, and so
it was
that
definitely like a cult following, like
was.
the sticker.
Yep.
And then the two things, like you were saying, the Hill Country.
Yep.
I feel like back then I had a lot, you know, growing up in Houston, all the kids that were into that, they were the teenagers. I say kids, teenagers and early 20s. It was like a pilgrimage, right?
Yeah.
And they would go to Green Hall and they'd go to Leukenbach and they'd go see Jerry Jeff. And they'd come back with their sticker
right
and
passage.
Their sangria wine.
Yeah.
you know, and Greenhall, of course, we have to do an episode about, I think Luke and Bark, we have to do an episode about.
Sure, yes.
But Greenhall, for listeners that don't know, it's one of the oldest dance halls in Texas. It's just south of Austin between...
G-R-U-E-N-E.
Uh-huh. Green. See, one of our words green. That we butcher, yes.
Yep.
But we call it Green. And for a lot of Texas country artists, I think, much like Billy Bob's in Fort Worth, it's kind of a rite of passage.
It is.
Like when you sing there.
Oh, you've made it. Oh my gosh. You know, it's funny to me, and I've never actually thought about this before, but so that Jerry Jeff, you know, sticker had to be like a badge of honor in Houston. Because it's like, hey, I'm not about the big city because got these roots.
Bunch of urban cowboys.
It was the opposite for me.
Yeah.
And I've never thought about that before. But when you had that, it meant that you were more worldly.
Sure.
Because you were outside of West Texas. That meant that you traveled to the Hill Country. That you listened to stuff that wasn't, you know, mundane or you know, the norm in West Texas. So it's really interesting to me that your perspective was like, you get street cred.
It
because you were Texan.
Yeah.
And I got street cred because I was out of West culture. Texas. I was culture. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I would definitely say, you know, I said before about Mr. Bojangles, I certainly heard that song, but the two songs that I remember jamming the most with my friends, whether we were driving at a party, whatever, it was definitely Sangria Wine, but Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mothers.
Okay.
Which he sang with Willie Nelson.
Yes.
And it's, I mean, it's an anthem.
If you don't know the words, you could get shot. You know, but I you know, what's actually interesting about that, though, speaking of songs, though, my favorite with him that I use on a daily basis is Pissing in the Wind. And that goes back to like where I feel like they like pick up a guitar and they're like, let me just write a song about this.
Sure.
You know, and that's one of those sayings in Texas where it's like, you know what? I don't want to make that argument with somebody because it's like pissing in the wind. And basically for me, you know, it's like, I just don't care to make that or give my energy to that.
Sure.
So that's like pissing in the wind. And the man wrote a song about it.
Well, and look, I mean, Bob Dylan, one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Yeah.
Covered one of Jerry Jeff's songs.
Covered.
I mean, that's insane.
That is mind-blowing and has to be one of the biggest.
And Bob Dylan, not known for his voice.
No.
No. He's actually known for songwriting.
So to cover that.
Yeah.
Says so much. I'm really glad that you actually brought that up. That's a huge testament. Can you imagine?
No. I can't. But in Jerry Jeff, again, back to kind of this outlaw country, you know, we've talked a little bit about the Texan pride and Texan culture here, but there is definitely a sentiment here for certainly native Texans. And even I think people that are drawn to Texas that move here, that Texas is, we're rule breakers.
Yeah.
We are outlaws a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're independent. And I don't want to say we don't have like a pissing in the wind, don't give a fuck attitude, but we kind of do.
Well, it is.
But we also take care of each other.
Yeah, but it's either get on board or get out.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, that is like the testament, you know, because everybody here knows that we're doing well.
Sure.
It's all for a good cause.
Sure.
So either get with it or leave.
Or leave. And I think that storytelling part of this music, and it's still... today, Texas country artists are doing it today. I think it's something that the audience so intimately connects to and is, and it creates a bond that's even stronger.
And
if that makes sense.
No, it does. And like, to your point though, like this conjures up a lot of nostalgia for me. I mean, just saying the name and thinking of the songs and I mean, there's a whole era, there's an entire portion of my memory lobe that is dedicated to his songs and his writing and that time and that era.
Right.
It's really important.
Well, and I think when you witness it, especially live, and again, back to that storytelling piece, almost every live concert's different.
Very.
You know, and you feel like you almost have a window into that person's very intimate life. And now you feel like you're part of something and you're sharing that with that person. And that's what I think that's what's special about blues. And one of the things that makes Texas country stand apart.
I feel, again, you're totally hitting the nail on the head, because as a writer myself, and clearly not in anything that's, you know, in music or anything, you know, artistic, you know, mine's more in the corporate world. It's very raw to write something down and expose that to the masses.
Sure.
And to have the ability to put in a lot of inner thoughts and feelings to music and then blast that to an audience.
Live, it comes off. What's the word, Milan, for when actors make up something during?
Improv.
It's like improv. Almost.
It is. Yeah.
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 Like they, and so, like I say, every concert, like, is so different.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting, you could see Jerry Jeff live at Green Hall, and then you could see him live in New Orleans, and it's going to be two totally different shows.
Man, I got to tell you what, yes.
You know what I mean?
And Robert Earl Keane was the same way for me. Mm-hmm. Corey Morrow, holy shit.
Sure.
I have seen that guy all over the spectrum.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is. They are opening up and welcoming you in.
Yeah, they're letting you in.
Yep.
That's the point. Okay.
Excuse me, ladies. Yeah. I think it'd be a good time to go to our sponsors now.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let's thank them.
Take a quick break to our sponsors.
Let's do that.
At Trevo Creative, that's Trevo, for a full-service marketing agency that makes your business look good and get noticed. We believe every brand has a unique story to tell. We make sure you look good, sound good, and have the perfect script. Visit TrevoCreative.com to learn more about how we can turn bold ideas into unforgettable brands.
What's your story?
Okay, and we'll roll right into fact number three. He's known as the founder of the Texas music scene, which it's exactly what we had just been talking about. Jerry Jeff was instrumental in making Austin the live music capital it is today. He was a regular at Armadillo World headquarters and helped.
That is so Texan.
Yes. And helped put places like Luckenbach, Texas on the map. His 1973 live album, Viva Terlingua, was recorded in Luckenbach and considered one of the most important albums in Texas music history.
I've actually been to Terlingua before, which is kind of scary.
What? Talk to us about Terlingua.
Oh my gosh, like so, so Texas.
What does
so,
it mean literally, Terlingua?
I actually don't know. I mean,
love Milan fact check.
Yeah, can you fact check us?
Something about tongue.
I with lingua or
yeah,
language.
Or, yeah.
Maybe same. Yeah. I love lingua actually. I eat weird.
All right, here's your fact check. Here you go. The name Terlingua is derived from the Spanish words tres and lingua, meaning three tongues. Some folks say three tongues refer to Native American, Spanish, and English, the three languages spoken in the early days of the region.
I really
yes, you do.
I do. I eat weird shit, and so yeah. I love lingua. But I don't know other than to say that I have been down there. It's so desolate.
And for listeners, where is Terlingua?
Do you want me to give you like a longitude, latitude shit?
Well, give us, what I know about it is way south.
Oh,
it's west.
We're talking like on the border type shit.
Sure.
Like you don't just pass through.
Right.
Like you have to go there. That's not a destination. You know what I mean? Like you have to go through.
You're purposely going
but,
to Terlingua.
Yeah. And there's nothing there. And I think that honestly, Texas musicians have done a really good job of uplifting places like that. And I think that goes back to something that you've mentioned before that a lot of probably out-of-state listeners aren't aware of is Luckenbach.
Sure.
You know, and while that is not Terlingua, mm-hmm. you know, because it's in the hill country and there's actually trees. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really, that's how much I think that Texas holds their artists in high respect and high regard is that they're like, I'm gonna go play down there.
I'm gonna go play down
there. And I'm gonna go, or I'm gonna sing about it, and I'm gonna make it a place that we can go down there. And
even
sing.
Lukenbach, kind of back to that point of kind of a pilgrimage, right? So Lukenbach, for listeners that don't know,
pilgrimage.
So Lukenbach is out in the hill country. You'll find it outside of Austin on the way to wine country in Texas. It's quite literally a spot in the road. It is basically a post office is what it is.
Yeah.
For the rural residents in the area. And it's been kind of turned into this, I guess by Jerry Jeff is really where it started, but Willie's done a lot of work out there and, you know, but people now it's like this live music venue.
Well, so
you gotta go to get your t-shirt.
You gotta go get your stripes.
Yes.
You're not from Texas unless you go.
It's now a store where you can buy your Jerry Jeff Walker blue and white sticker and you can buy your Lukenbach, Texas t-shirt.
Goes back to what you're saying, and I feel like that little stamp in Texas is about folklore.
Yeah.
It is where the legends congregated.
It is.
It is also where I got my first MIP.
Tell us about that. In Lukenbach?
So, yes, in Lukenbach, Texas, at one of these festivals that we're talking about.
I wasn't aware there was security there.
Oh, girl, I raced my first armadillo there. I got stories about this shit. Like, it's a whole thing. But it was a huge festival where everybody from around the state and even around the nation comes to congregate at these little things.
Pilgrimage.
You know, it's a pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. And it's wild to see it in person. Because you build this thing up in your mind and you hear about it and you hear songs and all this stuff. And when you get there, I think that I'll be honest and say that I feel like it's a 50-50%. Like you're either 50% impressed because you're there. Right. And that means you're a Texan because you're like, I'm standing on Mecca.
Right.
This is Mecca ground.
Right.
Or you're the 50% that might not.
Get it. Yeah.
And then it's lost. And then they're pissed because they're like, why did I go all the way here? And I will say that I'm very judgmental on those people. The people that don't get it, I'm like, oh, so there's a sense of this that you don't get. You don't get the Jerry Jeffs.
Right.
You don't understand the Robert Earls. You'd never listen to Willie. You know,
go back to your MIP. I want to know how you got arrested.
I was actually there. I was 15 and
yikes.
Don't yikes me. You were doing the same thing.
I know, but from Midland all the way to Lukenbach.
Well, my parents had a house on LBJ.
That's right, LBJ, right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a lake we're at. I think this is where my dual personalities come into play. So I had West Texas and then you know, cheerleader there by day. On the weekends, I was in the hill country at our lake house. It sounds bougie. Probably is, but so
yeah, it's okay.
Anyway, so my little hill country self went with some of my friends that were underage and we met up with some folks. We actually stole a 30 pack from a gas station as we were like distracting the clerk with a map, asking them how do we get to Lukenbach.
Oh my God.
And we siphoned out like 330 packs and we get there and
Oh wow.
Oh, it's a whole thing.
That's amazing.
Rite of passage, which is what we were talking about. So I go and I have no idea, but do you remember like the balloon hats that are like, it's almost like a helmet?
Yes.
Somehow I had one on. And
during the arrest.
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
during the run.
No, it actually gave me away. So I bailed.
No kidding.
Swear to God. I'll tell you why though. So I bailed and I actually went and tried to hide under this minivan. And my balloon hat started popping.
Sure.
And clearly the officer looked down and was like, hi. I'm like, that was the end. So yeah, my first MIP was actually.
Now, was it for one beer?
They didn't know, but they could, you know, clearly tell that I'd had more than one.
Sure. Did you have to go to a drug tank?
I did not.
Okay.
So it was actually a ticket. Uh-huh. That I kept in my pocket for about 2 weeks and hid from my parents until the last minute. And then I went to my dad first.
Yeah.
And that was the whole, you need to go tell your mom. And, Lukenbach lives on.
Lukenbach lives on.
In my record.
Do you have a warrant
in my mind. No, I took care of it.
Okay. Just making sure.
But I will say, if I ever had a warrant anywhere, it would probably be there.
Oh,
yeah.
Fair. All right. Let's jump into the next. That's our Lookabox stories, y'all.
That is.
And we're excited to hear your Lookabox stories or share any photos. You know, everybody
Oh my gosh, I would love that.
Everybody does the photo because in front of the post office.
And they're not, they weren't on phones. That's another thing is that all those Lookabox pictures that I have, I mean, they were like, you took
it. Disposable.
Yes. And it was like, God help me. I hope that some of these are good.
If there's a top five, you know, we talk about blue bonnets later, but if there's a top five photo to take in Texas, it's in front of that post office in Lookabox.
Yes.
You have made it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can send it in no words.
Yeah,
you
everybody
need,
knows.
You don't need a caption.
Everybody knows she went to Lookabox.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. Fact number four. Are we on fact four or are we three? No, we're on four. The original outlaw before it was cool. Long before the outlaw country movement was a thing, Jerry Jeff was living it. He was known for his wild lifestyle, legendary drinking habits, and showing up to gigs barefoot. His live shows were unpredictable, either the greatest concert you've ever seen or a complete train wreck. That was part of the fun. So this is kind of what I was talking about earlier. Like, you could go see Jerry Jeff, you know, live at Lookabox or in a
balloon hat.
Yeah, in a balloon hat. Or you could go to see him in New Orleans. You're going to see all those shows are going to be totally different.
Yes.
It's not the same set every time.
It's really not.
And you don't know how much whiskey he's had that night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's just showing up, plucking around, telling stories barefoot, having a great time. And Robert O'Keen is much that way too, who I adore and have so many good memories of.
I feel like you are just setting the stage for me to talk to you about this.
Okay, go for it.
So Robert Earl... saw him outside of San Antonio. What is that dance hall that's out there? I forget the name of it.
Oh, Rose. Yeah, yeah.
But super, super
Blonde.
Famous.
You gotta find that one.
And so go there. And he was an hour and a half late because they were sobering him up.
Sure.
And another thing about Robert that I feel became very prevalent with Pat Green was that they did show up barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
And even today, I feel like it's prevalent because they lay down the rugs behind everything. And you're like, why is there a rug here?
Right.
And it's like, because if they want to show up barefooted, they can't.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. And that was part of it. I mean, that was like, you showed up knowing, like, I could be here for 20 minutes. I could be here for two hours.
Sure.
But that's part of what we were talking about earlier. Like, they built that audience base. We went there to go see the legends at these mecca places.
Well, and those places that we've gone to see them.
John T. Floors.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Yes.
That's it.
That was without Milan.
Yeah.
Or Google. Mm-hmm. That's how that used to happen.
That's before we had Milan.
Yeah.
Yes, John T. Floors. You're absolutely right. Some of these places, too, I think it should be noted. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about Nashville country. You know, what part of the kind of stick it to them attitude of these outlaw country artists is they would not sell out to record labels in Nashville. They just fucking won't. And they don't care how rich it makes them. They're not then in it for the money. They're in it for us and the music and the story. You know what I mean?
So yeah, I do. And I feel...
And there's a part of that that's like,
And I like... I it's so hard, like, full-heartedly believe with this. And I feel or believe that. The one thing that really got me, and I could be wrong in this, and listeners can correct me, and I am here to always apologize if I have said anything
wrong. Sure, we both are.
But this is from my perspective.
Sure.
So, to your point, these guys and women stayed in this genre, and they stayed with their audience base, and they're... It went without saying. And there was also from an audience member and a fan, being me, that there was, I respected that.
Sure.
And I will say that Pat Green pissed me off.
I have a story about that.
By all means. That
you're pitching it to me.
He did.
In college,
Go back because I will say for listeners, if you're not aware of Pat Green, he was very Texas country and he tried to make the hop to almost like a Nashville thing. And he had one good song that came over the airways, I think. Maybe two, you know, Wave on a Wave. And I forget the other one.
Wave on a Wave for sure. Yeah,
Wave on a Wave for sure. and it backfired. And it was a slingshot effect. Like, he went and it was great, and then he hit that Nashville thing and it shot back. Mm-hmm. And I, to this day, I don't think he ever recovered. So I just wanted to preface what you're about to say with that.
So I was working in college. I went to Texas State and in San Marcos, just south of Austin. And while I was in college, I worked for the Grist Mill, which is a really famous restaurant down there in New Braunfels, but also next to Green. So the same people that own the Grist Mill also own Green Hall.
It's amazing.
And when I was a server and bartender there, every now and then, if there was a big show or something going on, the manager at Grist Mill would pitch me over to Green Hall and say, I need you to go down there and help.
Oh, cool. I didn't know it worked like that, but I can see it.
And so, as you said, Pat was one of the first Texas country artists who came quickly after this kind of resurgence of the culture with Jerry Jeff and Robert Earl Keen. And it sold out, and Texans were pissed. And it backfired. Like you said, it was like a slingshot effect.
Yep.
I mean, it was not good.
Yep.
And one night, my manager said, I'm going to need you at Green tomorrow night. And it's an acoustic show. And it's Pat Green.
Oh, shit.
By himself.
Oh, no.
And it's his first show back in Texas.
Well.
After that happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps just talking. It was one of the most beautiful, incredible live performances I've ever seen.
He is so talented.
And I mean, it was very intimate. It was like 300 people
in the room.
And it was, again, like we were saying, Green Hall's much like a rite of passage.
Yes.
It's almost like he came right through that rite of passage again. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that was his, and he even spoke about it quite a bit in between songs.
I can't imagine from his lens that looks like.
It was huge. And that show, even as intimate as it was, of course, I mean, like, it just reverberated after he did that.
Yeah.
And again, like, that place is just such a rite of passage for Texas country artists. And he literally came through like the birth canal again.
You say that, because I was thinking that when you said that, that he came through.
He literally did. He reinvented himself again.
Reborn. Yeah. But
and it was incredible.
I would also say that I don't feel it didn't take.
For you?
I think for a lot of listeners.
Sure.
I think that he gave up that ground.
Sure.
Which, I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't you be like, I mean, maybe his mindset was, I would like to take this feel and this everything to the masses, and this is my opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. And it backfired, and then he didn't have a place to come back home to.
Sure.
And I still find that entire thing a little tragic, to be completely honest,
tragic.
Because oh my gosh, I used to have all of Pat's, like, you know, CDs in my case, Logic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did. Oh my gosh. And I
can't tell you how many Pat Green songs I've burned off.
I know.
Off.
And I can't tell you how many. I know. LimeWire.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so it is.
And I think what I was blown away by was not only the kind of the courage it took for him to do that, but there's something about an acoustic, and it was literally him and a guitar.
Because you're raw.
And a mic.
That was it. That goes.
I mean, there was nothing else.
That goes back to exactly what I was saying before, and that we were both talking about, is the fact that it's like, me as a writer, that's raw.
So it was huge.
As a performer, to put your guts out there, and for Pat to come back, I wasn't there clearly, but to be in that setting, mm-hmm. at that mecca of a place,
mm-hmm.
by yourself after this like Nashville mm-hmm. fall down.
I mean, he did it like,
I mean, I'm sorry, but you know what, that takes some balls.
It did. And it was like, I'm getting goosebumps again thinking about it, like, it just, the sheer talent, and again, just a mic, a guitar, and him. That's it.
Amazing.
No extras, no nothing. And, it was just, it was incredible. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen in my life. And I was working.
Yeah.
I was like, and here's your chicken fried steak and your beer.
Oh, I'm sorry. You ordered taquitos. Here's your steak.
All right. Fact number five, last fact. The influence lives on. Even after his passing in 2020, Jerry Jeff Walker's impact on Texas music is everywhere. He influenced artists like Pat Green, Robert Earl Keen, and Jack Ingram. And his
Jack Ingram. Yeah. God bless him.
And his annual birthday bashes in Austin were legendary. Yep. Today, his son, Django Walker, carries on his musical legacy, ensuring that Jerry Jeff's brand of rowdy, heartfelt storytelling never fades.
Well, with that name, I mean, not only is your dad, you've got to live up to that lineage, but you got to live up to that name.
He had to have met Django next to Mr. Bojangles.
Girl.
In the drunk
tank. That is some he was like, you know, jail member number two.
Yeah, he's like, listen, that's a name.
I'm gonna write you down. I'm not gonna sing about you, but I'm gonna write you down. Yeah, no, oh, that's, you know what, damn 2020.
I know.
God, what a wicked year. And then
Jerry Jeff passed. I mean, what pandemic?
Jerry Jeff. You know, I mean, leave us something.
I know. But yeah, no, that's a perfect way to end this, I think, because, you know, that's really what we've been talking about, is what a legend he was and kind of truly the path that he carved for artists that are still pretty, and Texas country is just growing in popularity, growing in artists, growing and following. Yeah. And I think more and more people are actually seeing the difference between Texas country and Nashville.
I agree. And I feel like for me, this is also another, you know, topic that you brought to my eyes and I'm very thankful of. But I think that now what I have been educated on and really do appreciate about this is the fact that Jerry Jeff is not a natural, you know, native Texan.
Right.
However, this
got here as quick as he could.
And we made a Texan out of him.
That's right.
But no, I think that I'll always look back on him knowing that now and just thinking like, God, we were lucky to have you.
Right.
And you left a thumbprint on Texas that will never be undone.
And never be undone.
And that's something to, you know, something to be impressed by.
Well, everybody go get your Jerry Jeff Walker stickers.
Get those. I'm going to go grab one and put them on mine. I mean, it's not a Tahoe or a two-door Tahoe.
Two-door Tahoe. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
My Jeep Wrangler. We'll put it. Go get your Jerry Jeff Walker stickers.
I know.
And maybe we should make a Never Have Y'all Ever version of a Jerry Jeff Walker.
You were onto something that I love so much.
Let's do it.
We're doing it.
We're starting some swag.
We're
y'all.
Doing it. All right, Milan.
All right. Milan, hit us with some fact or fiction. Before we get started, I do want to take a moment out to introduce
our Milan.
Hold on. Hold on. We're gonna go back to that real quick. Hold on.
I'm one take.
I know, sorry.
You're such a diva.
I gotta get my
He's the one. That's it? He's rubbing off.
The video wasn't even on.
Well, God forbid we operate without video.
Jesus Christ.
Hey.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Hold on. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I want to take a minute out to...
We. Thank you.
Lindsay Lockhart Flynn and Melissa May McGavick. I've Never Have Y'all Ever... We'd like to take a minute out to introduce Milan. His real name is Eric. We call him Milan because he's a retired supermodel, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks like it.
Did I name him or did... How did Milan... Because I couldn't...
Well, he told me that he had a career past modeling in Milan. I was like, well, clearly that's your name now.
Yeah. So it's just... almost like there's like a maverick or a goose. We've got Milan.
Yes.
I had no choice.
You know what? You really didn't.
Yeah. But Milan
really genuinely has stopped because... My Michael in the house is like, okay, Milan is Eric. Eric is Milan. I'm like, yeah, they're
the same. Milan is Eric. And he takes care of us. He makes us look great. He makes us sound great. And he's going to take care of us from now on as far as audio. And we couldn't be more excited to have such a special and talented and beautiful person on our team.
Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah. We're very lucky.
Stop
very
it. Stop
lucky.
It.
You and your golden mic.
Okay.
He's good at calling me on my bullshit, too.
He wrangles you.
I will.
So much. I love it. It's like this brother sister duo is strong.
All right.
Hit us with that fact and fiction.
I'm going to hit you with some Jerry Jeff Walker.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
All right. First one. Jerry Jeff Walker wrote the song Mr. Bojangles after meeting a street performer in a New Orleans jail.
Okay. So we just did an entire leg on that. So that's true.
Yeah. Can you give us another one?
I'm just reading what is down here, what I'm supposed to.
So we nailed it.
Okay. Okay. Factor fiction number two. Walker once rode a longhorn steer down 6th Street in Austin to avoid traffic before a gig.
True. You can agree with me.
I'm gonna say false because listen, those suckers are temperamental unless they're tranquilized.
Actually, I'm gonna say this and stand by it. I've ridden a couple in Fort Worth.
I know, but they were on tranquilizers.
Well, and so they are. You think Austin's above tranquilizers?
I'm just saying.
Have you been to Austin?
Well, I do.
Even the humans there are tranquilized.
I think in Austin you could easily procure a longhorn for said vehicle down 6th Street. But
so you're thinking?
I think you could easily get one. I just don't think you could easily stay on one. So I'm going to say false.
Okay, I think that we're talking Jerry Jeff, and we're talking like
he's wild
70s and 80s.
Yeah,
I think that Austin was a lot less Austin weird then. Yeah. And I just don't think that having a bovine,
a bovine
on the street of Austin, drunk, is out of character. And so I think it's true.
It is fiction.
Oh, damn it.
I finally got one.
I just realized that I'm so like shooting reels that I've got it vertical.
Oh, that's okay.
So we're just going to, right now, we're just going to turn it.
You're doing great. But we do that all, it'll be okay.
Well, shit, man. We want to bring horizontal back, you know?
Bring horizontal. I'm going to get a hat.
I need a hat.
Dude.
He's so mad.
We need to get latitude and longitude.
Yes.
Yeah. Just so you know.
Hold on. There we go.
Way to go.
This is my first day on the job.
It's a good, yeah. It's a good
it's first
thing
rodeo.
It's my first rodeo. And we have to, yeah. Okay, we're going to go with that. Okay. All right. So we got one more left.
Okay.
Jerry Jeff was a key figure in the Austin music scene outlaw country movement, influencing Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings.
Well, yes. We also covered that, so nailed it.
Were you listening?
Like I said, I didn't write this shit. I was given this by the producers.
Okay.
I was told to read it.
Should we go back now that we're horizontal?
I didn't drink you.
Oh my God, don't get me started.
Do you know when Redneck Mothers, the H is for Haggard? That's what Willie says. I can't remember how.
Really?
Redneck Mothers, the M is for, can't remember.
Man, I've got Barbie doll. I've got, maybe she'll get, dude, so. Going back to my case logic, fucking love me some Jack
Ingram.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. And I want to say that he's a West Texas boy, but the fact that I don't know that and love him equally says how much I love his music.
You're like, wherever you point, we love you.
Because you do okay. That. Yeah.
Last thing. What do you think the R stands for in Mother in the song? That Willie and Jerry Jeff sang together.
Ooh. Rebecca.
Rednecks.
Well, I was going to say that.
Up against the wall, redneck.